Go Strategic is pleased to present the School of Strategic Living. This is Lesson 14, entitled Finding Your Disciplines by Adam Peacock.
I want to tell a story about my parents. It's a wonderful privilege to be able to say that I was raised in a godly home. And I've got this story that's just kind of poignant for me this morning. We're going to be talking about finding your disciplines today. And I think you have some notes in your workbook for this time. If you want to follow along, they'll just give us a little bit of a framework. I remember, going back to the story, being a young boy, probably 8 years old, something like that. And I can remember vividly standing just outside the laundry room. My mother was finishing up some laundry, and I can't tell you exactly how we got onto this conversation, but we had a conversation that may not be super typical when you think about eight-year-old boys and their mother. And my mom asked me the question, "Hey, Adam, what do you think God's working on in your life right now?" And that just reflects a lot, just that she even asked that question. But by God's grace, in that moment, we began to really have a conversation where I was reflecting on my eight-year-old life and what was going on and some of the things that were important to me and some of the activities that were taking place, some of the struggles that I felt like I had in my eight-year-old context, and wondering about this fact, God, how are you involved? What are you doing? What are you after in my life? And we ended up coming back to this conversation on multiple occasions, which is also an incredible gift. But in that time, we began to highlight, especially you can imagine being in those formative years, the fact that God was really after this element of responsibility in my life, that God was after me beginning to take initiative in the things that I knew that I was responsible for. There was a few things that already I'd become responsible for at 8 years old, like making my own bed and recognizing that God wanted me to take initiative in making my own bed and not wait for my mom or dad to say, "Hey, Adam, did you make your bed?" And there were many expressions of that. What I want to tell you today is, even as a young boy, even at 8 years old, that conversation, by God's grace, went deep into my heart and my ability to recognize, hey, God's at work in this, and I want to be at work with God in this process, absolutely set me on a trajectory that has shaped so many moments in my life and continues to shape my life today. It shaped my life this morning in the way that I started the day. And that's the, for me, part of the power of what we're going to be talking about this morning when we talk about finding your disciplines. I want to step out of just my own personal story and highlight two elements that come forward out of, for me, that poignant moment. The first is that as people, we are formed over time. And often we're formed in ways where God is uniquely fashioning us, not in a moment, but in a process. We see this very clearly in the creation account. And you look at Genesis chapter 1 and you see God speaking galaxies into existence and separating the earth and the sky and filling the air with birds and speaking and filling the seas with fish and speaking and seeing all sorts of plants and animals arise from the earth. And then we see a very different process described when it came to creating humans, when it came to creating Adam. We see different language used, and we see a whole different process. And now we get this picture as we look into Genesis chapter 2, where there's been this declaration at the end of chapter 1 about intention. We're going to do something different now. We hear the conversation of heaven saying, it's time to make man in our image, man in our likeness. And then we get this description of a process that's formative. And so we see not the kind of speaking and everything's just boom, but we see an engagement that we get this picture of God very personally involved. This picture of process, this very personal and close engagement. And we see Adam formed, and then we see God breathing life into Adam. And it says he became, as the Spirit of God was breathed into him, he became a living soul. This is a much different process than anything else of creation, because we were given a very special place in creation, which is to be those who bear the image of God and who are compatible with the Spirit and the life of God, so that we are designed to carry God's life and Spirit and to partner with God in his created work in a very special and significant way. And we see in this process, the way that it's broken out, that there's this element in our becoming, in our maturing, where there's a process. And many times that process comes with a forming work, and before we see that filling, before we see the fulfillment of the life, we see that there was an effort that went into that, that there was a shaping that went into that. And what I would invite us to consider this morning is that that's not just talking about the formation of Adam, but it's talking about the formation of all of our lives in Christ, and that that language is consistent with how the Scripture talks about being a follower of Jesus Christ. That language is consistent with what it is to understand the fact that we are called to be disciples who are being conformed to the image of his Son, as it says in Romans 8:29, that is our destiny. And so we see that there is a forming and a filling process in all of us. And when we're talking about finding our disciplines, we're talking about recognizing the fact that sometimes long before we see the revealing of the life of God in a part of our lives, God's actively forming us in that process. And so we need to recognize that at all times in our lives, we are being formed in some way to be compatible with the purposes that God has for us, the destiny that God has for us. We are being formed to be filled in ways where we're expressing the life of God as those who are the children of God, full of the Spirit of God, working with God to accomplish the will of God. That's a very, very important and powerful process. The element of that, I think, that's so interesting is that we are created, right? Body, soul, and spirit. And in the elements of that creation, we have this thing that the Bible, at least in our translation in English, we talk about having our will. And this is a huge part of the forming process, is the place that our will is taking in that process. As a parent in that moment, looking back, I'm so grateful at what took place, because it was one of the more powerful things that can take place as you're a parent working with your children, which is when you're beginning to recognize an area where your kids can begin to develop some maturity. They can begin to grow into who God shaped them to be. And it's one thing to be, you know, challenging and reminding your kids, this is what you're supposed to do. But something amazing happens when your kids come into alignment with you, and when you're not the one trying to impose your will onto their will to get something done, but they start standing beside you and saying, I'm going to apply my will to work with you for the shaping and forming of my character in this way. And this is right to the very essence. We talk about it. We can see it in certain ways in the family dynamic, but this is the life dynamic. This is the Christian dynamic. This is the calling for all of us, is that we would participate with God in his desire to form and shape us for his purposes. We often will use terms and they're biblical terms about obedience and rebellion. One way of looking at those terms is to recognize the place of our will. When we're in a place of rebellion, we are being willful, and we are taking our will and we're using it to serve our own desires. And often in a worldly context, we can either celebrate the rebellion. We see that's one of the things the world does, and it's rebellion to God. They'll celebrate the rebellion of the individual, and they'll just allow people to see their will be unchecked and to do whatever they want to do, as much as they can, however they want to do it. Or there's that opposite reaction to that, which is to crush someone's will, right? And so they stop wanting things altogether. They stop cultivating the capacity to do more, to push through certain things. But neither of those things are God's desire for us. Let me tell you something. God desires you to have an incredibly strong and developed and mature will. But he wants it utilized in an expression of willingness. That is that partnership with the will of God, where we bring the whole of who we are to the whole of what God wants to do in and through us in the world. Right? This is the beautiful picture when we talk about covenant, when we talk about marriage, right? We talk about marriage that it's a covenant. It's not two people coming together and 50-50, right? Sharing the load. No, a covenant, a marriage is not the man and the woman each being in 50% to make 100. It's each being in 100% to make the multiplication of the life that God has for them. This is the picture of the Christian life, that it's not 100% God and 0% me, but it's 100% God and 100% me, that I am all in with my body, with my mind, with my soul, with my strength, that I am all in with God. And this is the picture that was given us by Jesus Christ, the perfect man who demonstrated what it is to bear the image of God. And he spent his life living all in with God the Father. And so when we're talking about finding our disciplines, we're talking about this element where in even very simple ways and very consistent ways, we are intentionally standing with God, seeking him, seeking his will, getting his counsel through the word, through prayer, through the community that we're part of, to begin to align our will with the work of God, to see our character shaped and formed and our life shaped and formed in such a way that the life of God can be revealed in and through us for his glory. So when we're talking about a discipline, this word, we've chosen this word, it works very well in a biblical sense. It is tied to this word of discipleship. In a practical way, we're often talking about regular, consistent activities. They can often be very simple, but they have a significant impact in our lives. In particular, the types of things I want you to be thinking about are the types of things that you may be doing every day or on a very consistent basis. They're things that you're looking for opportunities to develop, and they're the types of things where even when the circumstances of your life may be changing, that's a behavior that you're continuing to fight for and to incorporate in your life. Now, a discipline can be habitual, but a discipline in some ways is not necessarily the same thing as a habit, right? What I've talked about could also describe a habit. But part of the difference in the context of what we're talking about today is that a discipline is tied to this vision of seeing the life of Christ, the character of Christ, the will of Christ formed in my life. And so there's a vision behind it that's a little bit different than a habit. And so your disciplines can become habitual, but not every habit is a discipline, right? I wouldn't say that, you know, someone who bites their nails, that habit is necessarily a discipline in terms of what we're talking about in this time. And so there are some habits that we have in our life that actually God wants to break. They are forming us in a way that's actually limiting our capacity to be able to partner with God in a particular area, right? For example, with me, punctuality is a challenge for me sometimes, right? And so the habit of being on time is actually a significant part, even though we might not think of that in particularly spiritual ways. Actually, how many of you know there are many things like that that can be very significant in regards to how we are and function in the world? And so when we're talking about disciplines, I want to encourage us to think not only about the traditional spiritual type of disciplines that we'll be talking about, like reading the word and prayer and giving and service and those sorts of things, but the practical disciplines of our lives that are so important with the developing and the shaping of our willingness, right? So our sleep habits, our exercise and diet, our hygiene, the way that we cultivate and invest in learning, the fact, are we readers or not? The way that we spend and invest our time, the way we nurture relationships. What are the habits that we have of relationship? Do we really engage with people in a compassionate way? How good are we at listening? Do we always have to have the last word? Many people develop bad habits of always having to have the last word. And all of you know it's a discipline sometimes to be able to hold back and not always push back in terms of what you want to say, to make room for others, to be someone who can step back and consider and listen. These are some of the types of disciplines that we're talking about and that you'll be encouraged to invest in through this school. So in looking at that, let's move to the next slide. I just want to talk a little bit first about finding our disciplines, okay? So we're making an assumption as we engage this teaching, which is that everybody in this room has areas in your life where God is at work, have areas of your life that need to be formed, and that there are particular practices, there are particular starting points that for you, as you're beginning to say in your own way, in your own life, and in your own daily interactions, not my will, God, but yours be done, that there are disciplines for us to engage with. So the first thing that I want to encourage you with is this, that you need discipline in your life, that you need discipline in your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need discipline. We all need discipline. Now, just to make sure that we know that we are in good company, I want to encourage you about this. Jesus had disciplines. Jesus had, the scripture talks about his patterns of behavior. We see a couple of these spoken of directly. Even at a very young age, we see a discipline because he was raised in a devout home. Jesus had a discipline of walking pilgrimage to the Feast of Israel every year with his family and with his community. That was a discipline. It was a rhythm in his life. And as they walked, they would rehearse the faithfulness of God. He began to remember the story of God. He began to think of the implications of what God did with his people, with the physical people, the natural people of Israel, how that related to his own story. And they would sing the psalms that had been given to the people, and they would make that journey to participate in the feast that would be prophetic of what the cross held for him. And we see in Luke, the end of Luke 2, as Jesus is in the temple, that in connection with making that journey, having that discipline and that practice that was a community discipline that he participated in, that he was part of, that we see that something got anchored in Jesus' heart about the fact that he was to be about his Father's business. Isn't that amazing how participating in that practice began to bring forward and form something in terms of his sense of identity? We also see it talk about the fact that it speaks specifically that Jesus would often find a solitary place alone to pray. He would get away to have time with his heavenly Father. And this wasn't just something that happened once. This was something that often occurred. We could probably surmise that in some way, he was always carving out time every day just to fellowship with God, to listen to God, to pour out his heart to God. He had a regular practice of prayer. And then he speaks to that, like in John chapter 5, verse 19, where he's able to say, look, the Son does what he sees the Father doing. He doesn't act on his own initiative. I don't go out and just say what I want to say. It's what I see or hear the Father saying, what I see the Father doing. Those are the things that I'm doing. And that was not just an expression of Jesus's will in the moment. That was an expression of Jesus's willingness in life. He practiced that type of posture through things like his discipline of prayer. And so Jesus had disciplines, and so we're in good company. So the question then is then beginning to recognize, what are my habits? What are my disciplines? Are they matching up with how the Spirit is at work in my life, the things that God's doing? Are they revealing gaps in my character? And how am I to adjust my daily life, right, to be able to engage with these disciplines? Certain disciplines are common to all. I hope that Decent hygiene, I'll even say good hygiene, is common to all of us. It looks like it here as I'm looking out into the room, right? It's a good thing to brush your teeth, right? It's a good thing to brush your teeth. Our diet, our exercise, our sleep, we may not all need the same amount of sleep, but let me tell you something. If you are constantly sleep deprived, you're actually, you're limiting your capacity to live 100% in that willingness with God. We can't spend ourselves in all sorts of crazy ways in terms of our energy and then expect to be there 100% for God in those moments where he's inviting us, he's prepared us for something to engage with. And so there is a sense of recognizing, I'm not living my life, even on a daily basis, for myself. I'm living my life for God. When I said, Jesus, you are Lord of my life, I meant it. And that means that I'm living my life not just thinking about what I would like, what my pleasures are, what seems too good to me at the moment, but I'm constantly in this place of recognizing, God, that you have something for me today. Today is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice in it. I'm going to be glad in it. I'm going to lean into it as if it matters. So, certain disciplines are common to all. Certain disciplines are unique to you and what God is forming in your life. I love this verse, Proverbs 22:6, that talks about train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. It's a beautiful picture. Some of you may have taught on that. Some of my favorite teachings around it, look at that language in the context of the training of a bow, the bending of a bow, and recognizing that that each piece of wood, it has some natural tendencies that are part of its God-given design. And so we work with those tendencies, but we're not subject to them. We can shape those things in such a way that when the archer puts the arrow in that bow, that it's going to shoot straight, it's going to shoot true, it's going to shoot strong for the target at which it points. And each of us are designed by God like that bow. We have a unique shape, we have a unique strength, because we are designed to accomplish unique purposes in God, and that is a great opportunity to say amen. So, to take very kind of cultural sort of examples, right? It's probably not great to watch 4 hours of movies a day, right? But if you're a professional football player, right, and you're studying film for the next game, that's actually a really good thing. That's part of your daily discipline. It's part of your weekly discipline for your profession. It's part of your preparation. You're going to invest in watching film in a different way than the average person should. In that way, you're going to get some more screen time than the average person should. Or if God's called you to be someone who glorifies him and tells stories, right, through the making of film, you're going to be watching film in a different way. Some of us spend more time in front of the computer than we should, right? But if God's gifted you to write code, right, to create programs that are going to further his kingdom purposes, then you're going to spend a little more time on the computer than I will, okay? So we recognize in that element, maybe we give more time to studying things that not everyone's supposed to study, or to developing skills that not everyone's supposed to develop. And some of these are not just vocationally oriented. Some of you are gifted in arts and creativity, and it's not your profession, but it is a calling. And God wants you to learn that skill because he meets you in that way. He speaks to you in that way. And he's going to use that skill, that art, that process in order to be able to glorify himself through that way. The point is that each of us are called to discipline. Each of us have some common disciplines. Each of us have some unique disciplines. And in this process, in a very practical way, we're saying if you're engaging in this school and in this process, we're saying, I want to live a life that matters. I want to live a life that makes a difference. I want to, as Paul cried out, I want to apprehend that for which Christ has apprehended me. Then we need to make these choices on a daily basis. We need to be intentional in thinking about how am I living my life and what are the little things I'm doing that are having a big impact in shaping how I think, how I behave, what my character is. I love that story just anecdotally. I heard it in the context of a man in Chicago. Who knows what the actual story is, but a young man is going into a hotel, and a young woman comes by right around the same time, and so he opens the door for her, right? And she walks in, and as she's walking by, she says, "I don't need you to open the door for me because I'm a woman." And he responded, "I didn't open the door for you because you're a woman. I opened the door for you because I'm a gentleman." He understood, right? There was this practice that came in where he recognized these processes are investing in the fact that this is part of my character. This is part of how I behave. This is not a reflection of the circumstances around me. This is a reflection of the character that's been built into me because of the destiny that God's called me in and who I'm supposed to be. And what's great, if you dig into that anecdote a little bit, is in that moment of conflict, right? If he had been doing what he was doing circumstantially, the next time out, having received that, he may have been a little more hesitant about opening the door for someone because of how that circumstance played out. But because he wasn't grounded in circumstance, he was grounded in character, because that wasn't a reflection of the circumstance he was in, but the character of who he was, you can be confident that the next time around, he would open the door as well. So that there was a trustworthiness that was built into him in that process because he had been practicing the right way of behaving based on God's call on him as what it is to be a man. So, last point we want to say from this is that finding your disciplines is part of engaging a strategic life. And we're going to unpack this a little bit more as we go into this. Disciplines are formative for, again, we just want to bring this out. I hope that this is obvious for you because really we're talking about something that's very foundational to our lives. It's formative for competency. There's just this whole element in regards to how we speak, how we behave, how we think. How many of you know we have to learn how to think, right? This is one of the things that we talk about consistently as we look at Christian worldview, is that our desire for you as we're engaging in these materials is not that we're teaching you what to think, but we're teaching you how to think. Because we don't want you confined to having a godly perspective on the few topics that we could talk to you about. We want you to learn how to think biblically, how to think in accordance with the scripture. And that's a process that we're learning. That's a process that we're developing. And those types of skills, whether they're relational or physical in the development of a physical skill, maybe it's an expression of painting or dance, these are things that have to be developed. Very interesting, when the Bible talks about wisdom, when you look in the root language in the Hebrew, it's actually tied directly to skill. Directly to skill. And so this is something that is developed over time. We might be born with an aptitude to be naturally good at something, but all of us, even in our areas of strength, have to develop the skills that make that aptitude powerful and take it where it could be, all right? So it's that consistent practice. It's that consistent honing and developing that's really important, so that discipline, again, going back to that creation story, that we're participating, we're aligning our will with God's will in that forming of our life, in that forming of that area of our life, so that it's ready for the Holy Spirit to fall on it in power and there can be life in that process. Secondly, character. We've touched on this already, but a discipline is formative for character. We want to understand what it is to be consistent under pressure. This is the wonderful thing when we practice, right? It starts hopefully in our home, but it applies to other areas of life where we recognize that when we are someone who can align our will, right, can submit our will to someone else, that it allows for a flow of life and a flow of authority that's incredibly powerful. I love the story of the centurion, right, who demonstrated this incredible faith, because in this time of need, this time where he's crying out to Jesus for a miracle, he told Jesus, look, you don't have to come to my house. All you have to do is speak the word for this to happen. He says, I too am a man under authority. I understand how it works in that dynamic where I speak something and the servant carries it out. So speak something, and we trust you don't have to come. And we trust that that's going to happen. And Jesus says, it says he was astounded by the faith, because there was that flow. And that centurion wasn't born with that perspective. That perspective was cultivated in him through the formation of what happened in the military, his understanding of what it was to be in a system where authority functioned in that way. And so we practice that on a daily basis. We practice saying yes to God and his will. We practice engaging with others in a way that sees that they're created in the image of God and honors that. We see what patience looks like. How many of you know that we don't get zapped with patience in our lives? That's formed in our life, and it's often a very hard process. Why do I know it's hard? Because I'm told all over the world, don't pray for patience. It's a prayer that we often joke that we don't want God to answer, right? Because it's a daily element of just learning how to wait. But you know, there are disciplines that can foster patience in your life. If you're in a place, if God's speaking to you about patience today, if he's speaking to you about patience this morning, I want to encourage you, that's a discipline you can practice. That's something that you can not only pray into, that's something you can not only invite those around you who God's put in your life to hold you accountable to, but that's something you can practice. And there are creative ways to do it. Like maybe not always taking the shortest line when you're at the supermarket. That's a good way just to practice patience in your life. And I'll tell you something, if you will, even that simple practice of not choosing the shortest line, choosing a line that makes you wait a little longer than you would have if you would have gone another direction. I promise you, if you do that on a regular basis, patience will increase in your life. Something will be formed in your perspective and your capacity, even though that might just cost you 3 or 4 extra minutes in a day. That 3 or 4 extra minutes done intentionally will help shape your character. So let's look at the example of David. Just quickly, I know we want to be moving forward with this. I want to read to us from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 to 37. This is text is taken from a defining moment in David's life, which is his conflict with Goliath. And we know that this time where David stepped up and into the purposes of God set a trajectory that not only changed David's life, but actually created a process that would lead to the fact that Jesus himself came from the house of David. And so it says this, but David said to Saul, our servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the bear, will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Such an interesting thing as we look at this story. And this particular conversation is not always told in the story of David and Goliath. But I think it's a pretty important part. Because what we see in getting this insight is not just that David was incensed by the way that Goliath was challenging the people of God and talking about their God, but that David had a confidence in God based on the experience that he had had in his life where God had been faithful with the lion and the bear. And David recognized that this was a kairos moment in his life where the things that he had experienced leading up to that moment were meeting with this moment of divine opportunity. See, David, though he didn't know there would be a Goliath, was preparing for a Goliath in the way that he engaged with the lion and the bear. And I love the expression as he's telling this testimony, because David talks about the things that he did. He talked about the investment. He talked about the experience. But he gave God glory in the entire process. He recognized that it wasn't just that he had defeated a lion and a bear, but that he had learned how to fight with God. As we talked about that earlier expression, he had learned how to stand side by side with God. God's not at a distance, and it's like, how am I going to deal with this lion or a bear? But he recognized that, no, he had a responsibility to protect his sheep, and he and God were going to do it. And so we saw both the hand of God with him, and we see that 100% David was all in as a warrior. And I want to tell you that though they might not be giants with spears like weaver's beams, there are Goliaths in your life that God has destined you for and prepared you for. God wants to do great things in you and through you. And they may never make the news, but they will change lives. They will set a trajectory for communities. They will make a difference in things that God cares about. We need to recognize that the Christian life we've been called to is not one where we hope in the moment things are going to work out, but that we actually are on a daily basis preparing ourselves to be ready, recognizing that this little problem is a real inconvenience, but I'm not going to run from it. I'm going to run into it. I may be tired from what I had to do last night to be responsible, but I'm still going to wake up and seek the Lord's face in prayer. I'm still going to get up a little bit earlier and read the Bible. I'm still going to invest in the things that God has called me to, because there'll be a moment where saying yes today gives me victory in that time. So, we've talked about strategic living, a strategic lifestyle. You hear that over and over, especially in the 200 part of this course. And so we want to define a strategic lifestyle as doing what you should be doing when you should be doing it. Isn't it interesting when we look at this same David, right, who had been faithfully tending the sheep and protecting them, and how that process of being faithful in that way, it opened the door for him to slay Goliath and opened the door for him then to move in a whole other type of influence, a whole other type of anointing and power. That's one of the wonderful thing about godly habits, godly disciplines, is that when we are faithful in those things, it's like we heard in that last session, we begin to reap where we did not sow. We begin to reap where we did not sow. In 2 Samuel 11:1, we see an example where David was not doing what he was supposed to be doing. It says, in the time when kings go out to war, David didn't go to war. We finish reading into that chapter a little bit further, and we see that his greatest sin, his greatest failing, something that brought all sorts of judgment into his life and family and into the kingdom, took place because he was not doing what he was supposed to do when he was supposed to do it. He was not in the right place. He was not engaged in what he was called to. I love Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. It's another wonderful picture when we're talking about this element of the power of disciplines in our lives. It says, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Did you get that? Because of practice. We recognize that if I want to be able to stand in a place of influence, to stand in a place of authority, to partner with God in doing significant things in the future, actually what I do now matters for that. And you're getting that over and over and over again. But I want to remind us again, when we're talking about John chapter 5, 19, where Jesus says, I only do what I see the Father doing. We see later Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, before the most important event in all of history was going to take place, the cross. We see him in prayer, like he had been in prayer for a long, long time before. And we see him in all of the challenge of the trial of recognizing what he was facing and what had to happen. And we see him crying out in anguish and coming to the point where he can say, God, I'm willing. Not my will, but yours be done. And please understand, as you read those words, that's not Jesus saying, okay, God, I'm out. It's 100% you and 0% me. He's saying, no, God, I'm in. It's 100% you and 100% me. Jesus didn't go to the cross reluctantly. He went willingly. And it was not something that he looked forward to from a sense of pleasure, although we do see, talks about the joy set before him, but he recognized the challenge of it. But I want to tell you that it was all of the days of John 5:19, only doing what he saw the Father doing, that built the capacity in that moment of anguish where he could say again, not my will, but yours be done. So, disciplines produce in us the disposition of a disciple. You see the verses here, Mark 9:23, it's talking about the casting out of a demon and Jesus interacting with his disciples as they recognize, wow, we weren't able to succeed where you succeeded. What happened? He said, hey, this is a situation. This kind comes out by prayer. There's this element we see in some translations, prayer and fasting. There's this element of recognizing that there's an investment in our lives. There's a saying in my family that goes back to my youth, every day is training day. Every day is training day. Every day we're practicing obedience. Every day we're investing towards destiny. Second, the practice of rulership. We see there in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34, it's the writer of the Proverbs talking about being out in the community and walking and seeing this object lesson right before him. And it says, it talks about a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And the impact of how poverty doesn't just necessarily come in a moment, but little by little, that disorder comes about in our lives when we neglect a particular area. And these disciplines, the practicing of the rulership of our body, the rulership of our time, the rulership of our learning and our mind, directing our will towards the things that we're supposed to be doing is something that it not only fosters character within us, but it teaches us how to bring order to the things outside and around us, right? It's learning how to take care of your own room and closet that actually can help you in learning how to order your schedule or bring order at your office. It's learning the power of sequence in those ways. Lastly, and this is an amazing thing, but often our disciplines, our practices can actually be divine moments of opportunity that just release God in ways that we never expected. I think the life of Daniel is a great example of this. In chapter 1 of Daniel, we see that Daniel makes a commitment to adhere to the food laws, right? The customs, the culture of the Hebrew people, even though he was in captivity. And as a result of his faithfulness with that discipline and practice, he actually gets set apart from the others. And the really cool thing about it is God, would you see there's something about saying yes and being faithful to who God called him to be in that area that created momentum in all the areas of training. And it said that in all the different areas, in the wisdom and the understanding and the language and all the things that you were being trained in, no one could match up to Daniel and his friends. And being faithful in that one practice created opportunity that opened the doors of destiny for him and others. We see the same thing happen again in Daniel chapter 6. This time it's an element of warfare, but it was his daily practice of prayer, right, that set him up to be thrown into the lion's den, which then set him up to triumph over that challenge and see God be glorified even by a pagan king. So we see that when we're faithful to the things God's called us to, it's not just that they're building up our practice of willingness and our skill in those areas, but often they put us in the right place at the right time for the right things. So, four indicators that you're doing what you should be doing when you should be doing it. Pay attention to grace. Pay attention to the grace of God in your life. And there's some different expressions of that when I'm bringing that up. One is, how many of you know that being convicted of sin or being convicted of righteousness or something you should be doing is a grace of God? God, thank you for the grace of conviction by the Holy Spirit. And when we feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, in many cases, this is not just God saying, oh, you shouldn't have done that in that moment. It's also God inviting you to begin to train in that area, right? So for example, if you're convicted of gossip, you said something you shouldn't say, there could also be an invitation in there to really look at a discipline or a practice of how you're controlling your tongue. It may be an opportunity to go to God in prayer and say, okay, God, not only am I sorry for talking in a way I shouldn't have talked, for speaking in a way I shouldn't have spoke, but what's it look like for us to invest in the discipline of controlling my tongue? How many of you know that's probably a good one for all of us? James talks about that a little bit, right? So it's a great example. So conviction is an expression of the grace of God. Also, this area, we talk about grace also being the empowering of God for us to engage in a particular area. So one of the ways we can recognize that God's at work in a discipline is we find as we're engaging it, especially early on, we find God by his grace affirming it. We feel that sense of God's pleasure in that process. Maybe it's not as difficult as we thought it was going to be, and we can pay attention for that. That doesn't mean we don't do things that are difficult, but it does mean that sometimes that grace of God is there to just confirm, hey, keep investing here. You're on the right track. You're heading out in the right direction. Secondly, knowledge, right? This element that as we're engaging in the disciplines that God has for us, especially as we're giving it our attention, as we're doing it with this sense that there's purpose behind it, we're wanting to learn, then we can pay attention to the fact that we're gaining in a capacity of understanding. It's not just the experience that we're gaining, but it's the understanding that we're gaining as we're going after that thing. And I would encourage you that whenever you're participating in a practice, whether it's your practice of prayer, practice of the word, that you're engaged in it and you're engaged with it, that you're working in it and you're working on it, which means that you're beginning to pay attention, not just always reading the word in the same way, but getting better at reading the word, getting better at praying with the scripture, getting better at study, or at meditation, or at memorization, and allowing that practice to build up your capacity so that you're not just doing the same thing over and over, but you are, again, being formed in your capacity in that way. Thirdly, desire. One of the elements of a discipline, it may not be the most important thing, but it's a real thing, is where we invest our time and energy, we begin to think about and care about. Where we begin to invest our time and energy, we begin to think about and care about. This is a really interesting thing about prayer. I love this statement that my dad has, that the borders of your prayer life determine the borders of your ministry. If you don't have grace to pray for something, you might not have the grace to minister in that place. And so we begin to pay attention to where is our appetite, where is our desire as we're engaging in these things, and then again, how are we investing in that way? If you find that you're having a difficult time praying for something, again, then that's a good indicator. Maybe you and God need to wrestle with what's going on here. Is there a block in my character? Is this not something that you want for me to engage with right now? But we're paying attention to our desire in that way. And we're also celebrating, because some of our disciplines are not just new things that we're doing. They're things that we say no to. Right? They're that element of recognizing, okay, part of the discipline right now for me in the stewardship of my body is saying no to this particular type of food. And what's awesome is when we begin to see the grace of God at work in that process, where that thing we used to love, we don't love the same way anymore. We're not drawn to it in the same way anymore because we've developed a taste for something else. And there's application of that in so many different areas than just with food. And lastly, this element of ability, that An indicator that we're doing what we should be doing when we should be doing it is that we find that our capacity, our competency in that area is increasing. And with that, often our opportunities are increasing as well. So as we move to a close here, I just want to challenge you with some things to think about as you're looking at what your disciplines are, what they're supposed to be. First question that I would encourage you to ask is, can you sustain consistency? What we're talking here is not about what can you attempt, right? But what can you sustain? So for example, all of us could attempt reading the Bible 8 hours in a day. I don't know that any of us could sustain that in our daily life and lifestyle. Often when we get envisioned, when we get excited, you know the statement about our eyes being too big for our stomach, we want to go out and do that great thing for God. We're very excited with this element of considering what it would mean to bring this particular change in our life or develop this particular capacity or competency. And so out of that excitement, we want to bring all that we can into that thing, and we'll often miss the point that these disciplines are really about building up a momentum over time, and that the shaping of our life that we're after is something that comes out of being able to do something consistently, right? When I look at my overall health in regards to running, my running a marathon once in a year is not really going to do much to change my running capacity. But my running 3 miles a day, 5 days a week is going to change a lot. Okay? So think in terms of consistency when you're looking at your discipline. Second, can you build upon it incrementally? Be ready and regular just to start small and then see it increase. It increases as you get more competent with it. It increases as it takes less willpower to engage it. When we're often getting started, it just takes a lot of energy just to do the thing. But once we've gotten used to doing the thing, then we can begin to invest more with it. We can learn more with it. So it's that principle of incrementalism that's so important there. Thirdly, regular assessment. I would encourage us. I've referenced it. We haven't talked as significantly about it, but we've talked a lot about the word, prayer, serving, giving, right? These are all sort of practices, right, that we want in our life that make us God compatible, right, for his kingdom purposes in and through our lives, that we can discern his voice, we can discern his will, that we can participate in kingdom activities. And I want to encourage you, don't just do it and do it and do it and never step back and say, God, what are you doing in it? What are you doing through it? I want to encourage you, you know, as you're engaging a practice, maybe you don't assess it immediately, but you do assess it regularly. Because we're looking for consistency, 6 days may not change your life. But after 6 months, you should take a look at it. You should reflect, God, what have you done in it? What are you doing in it? What changes might need to be made? So I want to encourage you in these practices for regular assessment. And then lastly, share appropriately. I have a saying I like, if nobody else knows, nobody else grows. You know, the Bible talks a lot about testimony in our lives. And these are great areas as we see this formation taking place, as we see growth taking place, as we see the faithfulness of God demonstrated in our lives, where with the right people, it's not about bragging, but with the right people who God's joined you to testify to how God's at work, to invite them into that conversation. Maybe they've noticed some things and we'll be able to speak it back to you, that we encourage one another, especially those who have maybe some common areas that are working with you, those who are called into common vocations or practices or ministries, that you share with one another around the disciplines of how you're honing that skill or craft. Because we can learn from one another. Iron does sharpen iron in this way. And so if you've got a practice in your life, maybe it's in, again, a particular area of ministry or whatever, How long has it been since you reached out to someone else and asked them, hey, how do you handle this type of thing? How are you cultivating your knowledge of this? How are you getting into this particular area? So these are four things to look at as you're looking at establishing the disciplines in your life. I want to close with just a scripture picture. This comes from Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. And Matthew 25 is a chapter that's devoted to parables. And there's a parable there of the talents. We talked about it earlier today. And we see that in it, the person giving the talents, the king, gives them and goes away. And two of the servants take those talents and they utilize those talents. They invest them and work with them and trade them. One buries them. And then the master comes back and there's an evaluation of what took place. And there's a commendation that comes. It says in verse 21 of the master's interaction with the faithful servant, he says to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave or servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." I know these words are a deep motivation for many in this room. Many of us have this desire to hear God say to us, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant." I want to encourage us to look beyond that statement. It says, "You are faithful with a few things." We hear in other places, "You are faithful with small things." And these disciplines in our life, this might seem like a lot of time to give to something that seemed like really small and insignificant things. But we see from this parable that actually, if we will be faithful, really faithful in these few things, really faithful in these small things, they are the very things that open the door to great things. They are the very things that prepare us for the bigger things, for the God things, for the great moments. This is the huge privilege, right, of the faithful servant, was not just to get the commendation, but to be invited into something more with God. And then we see that picture, enter into the joy of your master. We've talked about standing side by side with God in that place of willingness that we've practiced, that willingness that we've developed and saying, "Okay, God, I'm 100% with you. Your will be done. Let's go after this situation. Let's go after this Goliath. Let's go to this expression of the cross that you're going to use to bring resurrection life into the earth." It says, enter into the joy of your master. When we come into that element of partnership, when we see what God's formed us for, we engage it. I think we touch in a fresh way that moment, going back to the very beginning of this message, as God breathed his life into Adam, and we see Adam filled with the Spirit of God and becoming alive and opening his eyes and seeing God right there, face to face, that we recognize the joy of what it is to have the high calling of being a child of God, of being an image bearer, of enjoying the joy of what God always intended for us to be human. And so I want to encourage you, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise the simple disciplines. Lean into them and recognize that they are forming you for great things. But even more than that, they are forming you for fellowship. They are forming you for understanding the intimacy of the relationship that God has for you and for celebrating the joy that put a smile on his face when he first thought of making you before the foundations of the earth. The Lord bless you and may great things happen through the little things that you do as unto the Lord in every area of your life. Amen.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.